thesis, did that come from Moscow? Was that
No. Originally, all made up there.
Yeah.
All.
That was
in the Lenin Club.
In the Lenin Club.
It had nothing to do with Moscow.
Moscow
did not dictate anything.
Do you remember any other names who supported the one position, the Auerbach position? You say Jackie was an heir to that.
Who are the other people who supported Auerbach?
Yeah. You don't
know. No, Jaffe wasn't there at the time. He came much later.
He
joined them.
There were other people, but there was a fellow called Pick, I remember. Pick was an old Communist Party from London.
George Pick.
P-I-C-K.
No, Pick.
Pick was a, and he was always speaking about the workers, and you know, he was a trade union man, but he had little. Auerbach could hardly speak English, but this was his thesis. He was a man, as they say, the Jews always say, a man who would argue like a Talmud Torah scholar, you know, they argue about fine points
of the Talmud.
So, the other position was the position on the agrarian.
The basis of the national movement is not the national. The solution basis. Was the agrarian. Yeah.
And you know people who were in the forefront of that position?
Well, I would forget those names.
And then later on, the Lenin Club split around that.
I do remember their names.
I don't
know if they are alive or not, and I can't commit them.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. So what became of the two positions? You split into two clubs?
Then the split took place,
mm-hmm.
and then we had to vote.
Mm-hmm.
Those who voted for the thesis number one, the number one set and number two set.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
It was clearly defined, and so we voted for those who did not support the Afrikaners anyway.
And that became the Spartacists?
That became the Spartacists
Club. We formed the Spartacus Club.
Mm-hmm.
And they kept on with the Lenin Club. I think they kept the old name. And then there was a paper also, and they kept the name of the paper. There was a small paper, like a broadsheet too.
The name the Spartacists, did that come from the German?
From Spartacus. From
now,
the
from the Spartacus Club, then we formed a party.
Mm-hmm.
That was the Workers' Party.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And then we started work outside.
Do you remember? You know, he's got the Spartacus was the club to which Rosa Luxemburg belonged.
Oh yes, that's how we took the name from.
I don't know how they got the name anyway.
Anyway, we called ourselves that.
Right? We were then very young politically. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
We were like young students because we were all learning new leftist ideas, and after all.
It didn't mean that because we called ourselves that we were linked with them.
No, I understand.
Yeah.
Just you took the sort of feeling from them all.
International names.
Yeah.
That's all of us do.
It reminds me a bit about this beautiful story when Ho Chi Minh attended a meeting in Paris when he was very young.
Mm-hmm.
And there was this terrific debate which he couldn't understand. But the Leninists were for the freedom of the people of the East and the colonial people. And that was all he was really concerned about.
Yeah.
And so he called himself a Leninist.
That's
the interesting. You know what you want or what you against.
You go to basics, you see. You really go to basics. There we had no measuring rod, not at all.
But
it was anathema for us to go and think of going to support the Afrikaners who We were fighting all the time. I remember my mother every day fighting with the Afrikaners who lived next door to us.
Yeah. So do you say it is basically an issue also of intellectuals without an experience of South African oppression, and yourselves with an experience as intellectuals of the situation?
Well, we were also young, no experience really.
It was emotional, and we had the daily experience of Afrikaner discrimination and Afrikaner arrogance. We were suffering from that. So we hated that. All young people hate injustice of any kind. Yeah.
Now that was the town, by the way, you did ask about her.
Yes.
In fact, we would like to
if you don't mind.
Track a little bit, if we can.
Just a few minutes.
Yes.
Now, I was born in a house in Buitenzinga, 7 Buitenzinga. It was a very big house which my father had bought. He was a man who had made a little money out of the Boer War, you know, and spent some money in having this big house. So there we were all installed. We were a big family all together when I was a young girl. Then there were 9 in the family. Mm-hmm. Now, my eldest brother...
There were no schools in Cape.
There were no schools. High schools for my eldest brother to get education. As you know, Abdurrahman got his early education at Maris Brothers. Mm-hmm. You know that.
Yeah.
You know, Dr. Abdurrahman.
Yes. So your brother?
Got his education at Maris Brothers. Maris Brothers was a Catholic institution in the gardens, where the galleries, I don't know if it's still there in St. John's.
Who is this you're talking about?
Abdurrahman.
Yes, no, but you're talking about your brother.
I know, but I'm just relating. Abdurrahman got his education at Maris Brothers, but there was no education for my brother. So my father decided to send my brother to Egypt for his education, because my mother had then become a bit, she wanted to go to Mecca and all that, and on the way to Mecca, she would go to Egypt and install him there and take up schooling in some high school there. So my father, rather unwilling because he came from India, said, all right, I'll take him to Egypt. So they installed him in one of the prestigious colleges called Khadija. And he went to Khadija Institute, where he stayed as a student and learned Arabic from A to Z. He was a marvelous Arabic scholar.
Really?
And from there, at the age of 17 or 16, he visited us, and he was entered at Guy's Hospital.
Guy's Hospital.
And he got in at Guy's Hospital in London. He was a very clever student, and at the age of 23 he qualified.
What was his name?
23. A.H. A.H. Gould, Dr. A.H. Gould.
Is he Ahmed?
A.H. was Abdul Hamid Gould, after one of the Turkish emperors. The Turks and the this and the that. The Malays of Cape Town always have a craze. So then it was the Turkish influence. And it was Abdul Muhammad, Abdul Hamid, after some sultan.
Yeah, one of the last sultans.
Yeah. So then he went to Guy's. But he stayed with an Indian major. A major of an Indian army.
English,
he brought up the entire English. It was entirely English. And he brought my brother up with correct English manners. And when he came back, he said, come back to take charge of this house. And the old man, he's, as you see, that all of you girls have to get education. I can't do anything with the two older ones, but the young ones must get education. So finally he got us private tutors. Harold Cressy wasn't established yet, and Trafalgar wasn't established. It was a little house in Chapel Street. We went there, but it was entirely inadequate. And he had to get us private tutors to let us get through our matric. Well, as soon as that was finished, he said to us, my sister and me, what do you want to do? Ghulam, of course, my youngest brother, was quickly taken to India, to Aligarh Institute, and from there he went to Gaz. Mm-hmm. Now, we were just older than him, you see, the two of us. And so we said, no, we want to go to Fort Hare to get out of this house. There we go, just shutting them.
So they went to Fort Hare. For the first time they met
the black.
Black intellectuals.
For the first time we met in black.
Can you do you remember the year you went to Fort Hare?
Oh yes. I must have been there from 24, 25, 26. Uh-huh. Uh-huh. After I got matric, and then I worked a bit, and I had got some money, and then I finally got to Fort Hare.
What?
Incidentally,
I didn't want to impinge all the time on my brother for little things. We had burdened him so much with cares. Huh?
Her mother was a descendant of those fellows who came from, what's the place?
Oh, you don't have to go.
No, no, you were.
If they are Malays, we know we came from Indonesia.
Indonesia.
From Malaysia.
Yeah, that's right.
But he knows, I suppose. I won't go into that, because that's not really important.
Yeah.
But there I met the African students. Mm-hmm. And I can say, when in one of my birthday speeches, I can say that it was a very sad note on which I ended, that all those brilliant students that was in my class, much better than I, all of them are dead today. I died 20 years ago. Why? Because life was too hard for them, they couldn't bear it. Some of them drank themselves to death, some of them found life too miserable and committed suicide, some of them were destroyed, and so on. But not one of them survived. And I find that of those 20 students there, it's because I am still today in the revolutionary movement that I have survived. But they haven't survived.
Yeah. Do you remember what you studied at Fort Hare?
Oh, the usual liberal stuff. Mm-hmm. What do you do? Literature?
She took a BA there.
And was there lots of political debate there?
Political debate? In the year 1926? Not on your life. I wonder if you can discuss any political debates.
Nothing.
Nobody. I remember Matthews, who became president of the ANC.
Yeah.
He had some political ideas, mind you, because Matthews, he was one of the first VAs there. And it was a great thing for the university to have a brilliant student, and a farewell speech was made at some gathering there. And we were 8 girls, just imagine, 8 girls in that whole institution sitting in the front seat, and all the students at the back. And Matthews came in front with the principal, making out to this principal was applauding that this was a brilliant student that got this honor and that honor and that honor and this. And he predicted a brilliant future for, what's his first name?
ZK.
J something X Matthews and so on. And Matthews came and made a speech. And we girls murmured and murmured and said, that he's just a lick spittler, he's an arse licker. Why? Because Matthews made a ridiculous statement. He said, some people say there is a native problem, but I say there's no native problem. There's only a human problem. And the professors all clapped. And we didn't clap, we just sat there stonily looking at this fool. Everybody knew there was a native problem that was staring you in the face. We were in a native institution. And these were all white professors standing in front of us, and one black professor called Jababu. Mm-hmm. And he was saying there's no native problem. Just bloody nonsense. So there you are, so much for politics.
Mm-hmm. And then you came back to Cape Town to teach?
Then I came back and applied, looked for a job. But I had no Afrikaans, you mm-hmm. see, because when I was taking my matric, I did Netherlands. I couldn't stomach Afrikaans, so...
Well, in any case, Afrikaans wasn't a language at that time.
So then I couldn't get a job in a secondary school or a high school. Mm-hmm. And the only job I could get was in an Indian school. And I got a job in nursery school. And there I stuck it out. And in the end, I just loved the school and the children and the manager and everybody there, and stayed there until the end of my time, until I moved.
And your own... gradual involvement with the Lenin Club, how did that come about?
Oh, that became...
It was the visiting these various clubs. Mm. Then we finally landed there.
Oh.
Now, when my brother came, that was now, all these people were invited to his house.
Is this Ghulam?
My AH. Yeah. He had married then Abdurrahman's daughter, and she was a university student. So she invited them to parties, and they all came there. So we met them at close hand, and we heard them and discussed with them. So we started talking and talking. And then I didn't know these people. I didn't take them really seriously at these parties, but only when I went to the Lenin Club did they reveal themselves what they were. Uh-huh. Uh-huh. I mean, they did come there social, you know, but at the Lenin Club I saw them what they were, politicos. Some were kind of politicos I did not like. They believed in, for instance, There was an idea mooted about, it was so-called leftist, that sex was like taking a glass of water.
Well, that came much later, Jan, not at that time.
It was a... I thought a decadence that was creeping in, especially in the biologist, you know.
Mm.
And the biologist discussion, I didn't like it.
But darling, the question is, how did you come to the Lenin's Club?
But we were all looking for ideas, we were intellectually awake then.
Mm-hmm.
After all, we were reading books now. Mm. Books were available. So we used to go and read books and read magazines, and there was the Russian Revolution. There, if you were educated, to that extent and you are moving among intellectual circles, whether you come in a leftist movement, you may come in through music, you may come in through literature, you may come in through your own situation in life.
And
if you were an oppressed person, you would want to come in because you want to solve the question of how do you come to be oppressed? Why are these people looking down on you? Why do they think that they are superior to you? In which way are they superior? Biology and all these things prove that men's brains are equal when they are born. What gives them superiority? So if you're an intellectual, you go and investigate. I mean, you just don't sit still. A student who's passed his matric, I mean the elements of education, goes to discover things. You know, there's a time for discovery.
But darling, let's come back to how we start politics.
Silly questions.
No.
Okay, can we just
you're
get back?
You're asking me silly questions.
Yeah.
A person develops, that's all.
And how do you come to the party? That is an important question. Now let's get into politics and go.
Did the ICU play any sort of role in it was active at that time, mid-20s?
In the ICU?
Yeah.
Did you listen to the ICU on the parade?
Yes.
Uh-huh.
But the point is, the question you're asking is, what did it play any part in...
did it influence that people feel that there's something... one must become involved in, or some of the ideas put forward by them. Yeah.
Now, we'll tell you this. I'm not going to answer your question directly. In another way, before we were in these clubs, all along the white liberals were amongst the blacks. They kept them separate. They had the native European
Council.
They had the colored European Council. They had the Indian European Council. But never did you find the blacks together, but they were the common factor. Now, that was the politics. Now, in other words, the previous leaders all came through the education of the liberals, because after all, you must remember, they were introducing a new system. You know what I mean? They came in with a new system, and their people now had to fit into this new system. And they were looking out for a way out, and the liberals seemed to offer this, but they make sure they kept us separate. So that all the leaders of before our time all came through the tutorial so-and-so of the liberals. Now Kadali was not a South African, incidentally. How he came about, he was working at the docks, and there was a strike at the docks, and that strike spread. Then it spread throughout. Now he did not know anything about the workers' organization. Trade unionism. So with him, this strike was for the black people who are employed, and everybody could join it. And he used the strike method. And because he used the strike method, no matter where you worked, you could join the ICU. And because he used the strike method, it became very popular. It grew and grew and grew until it was a huge body.
When he organized the farm workers, when he wanted the
Even the farm workers, people used to leave the Orange Free State farm workers, going right down because they are going home to find a place where the blacks are now. Kadali has found a place for us all. And that was the situation. Mm-hmm. Now, Kadali was the first black organization that went over 1,000 membership. Mm-hmm. But he was still operating, you know, along those lines. There was no question of leftism at that time. Now, I suppose you would know how he was trapped in the end.
He was a marvelous speaker.
You actually heard him speaking?
He was a marvelous speaker. He could just hold people like that.
He was a psychologist, you know.
Yeah.
He understood the psychology of the masses.
Yeah.
Was it at the parade which he used to...
Huh?
Yeah. At the Grand Parade you
At the Grand Parade, yes. Oh, yes.
Thousands of people would go.
Yeah.
They would follow him and worship him. He had what they call a charisma about him.
Charisma, yes.
And very few people, very few speakers had that charisma as he had. Mm. Of course, there was a lot of demagogy about it, but what...
But that understood at that time, you understand what I mean?
To ask the same question in relation to the ANC, was there any, were they active in the 20s or?
When the ICU came up, the ANC was...
The ANC, you know, was born in 1912.
Mm-hmm.
And it came up, and then when the ANC, when Kadali came on, ICU, it really killed the ANC, just killed it, practically non-existence. Result was, by 1935, when the bills were, you remember the native bills, what they called native bills, came before Parliament, there was no organization to call the country together.
But you know, who has something to say about this ICU now? The ANC was worried about it, and it told some of its members, remember that colored chap, what was his name? They were told to go into the ICU and run it from inside. And then they also got the trade union, the ICU is a trade union, they got the trade unionists from overseas to come in, Barringer.
No.
Wasn't that in the ICU?
No. Kadali decided he heard about the international working class, you see, and he went to England. He was received like a king by the English. He was received like a king. And they took him around all over the place, and he wanted also to join. In fact, he was asked or encouraged to join the international, you know, trade union. So Kadali agreed to be a part of this, and then they said, but you see, in order to qualify to join in this international thing, you have to change the form of your organization. The structure and form of your organization. As it is now, you just collect everybody to come in. But a trade union works in this way, and they go on, you see. And then they said, however, what we'll do is we'll we will lend you somebody who will come and reorganize your Singami so that you can now affiliate. Mm-hmm. And who was that somebody? Ballinger. Mm-hmm. And Ballinger organized the CU and the ICU to death.
Yeah, yeah. So anyway.
The Communist Party, I don't know if you met John Gomez.
Mm. Yes, John Gomez was our time.
Yes, actually he was a family friend of ours also.
Yeah.
But there was this whole struggle of the Communist Party and the ICU and the and Ballinger relates to that also because of the...
What I said, the Communist Party and got Gomez, and there was that other fellow, a colored chap there, who was also in the Liberation League.
Isn't that Laguma?
Laguma. And all of them were told to go inside and work the ICU from inside and find out everything about it.
But as communists, that's the communist infiltration, if you wish.
Yeah, that's right. Into the ICU. Yeah, yeah.
But then also the liberals through Ballinger.
Ballinger was there, his job was to break the ICU.
Eventually
because
them.
Prior to that, there had never been such an organization so big.
Yes.
Of course, it was an anomalous organization, you know what I mean? It was more a national organization than